नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Is 9:16 or 15? Chapter 16. So we got a few verses we got to read from 10 to 6, 10. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaivam Narottamam. Devim Swasatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye. So we read from Srimad Bhagavatam. We have a few verses to read before we read the go to the actual text. So I'll just read the English of these few verses and then we'll go to the actual text. We start from 10. Start from 10, right? So I just read the English. Once when Parsaram left the ashram for the forest with Vasuman and his other brothers, the sons of Katavitra Arjun took the opportunity to approach Jamad Agni residence to seek revenge, to seek vengeance for their grudge. The sons of Kartavirya Arjun was determined to commit sinful deeds. Therefore, when they saw Jamal Agni sitting by the side of the fire to perform yajna and meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised by the best of selected prayers, they took the opportunity to kill him. With pitiful prayers, Renuka, the mother of Parsaram, and the wife of Jamagni, begged for the life of her husband. But the sons of Kartavirya Arjun, being devoid of qualities of a Kshatriya, were so cruel that despite her prayers, they forcibly cut off his head and took it away. Lamenting in grief for the death of her husband, the most chaste Renuka struck her body with her hands and cried very loudly, "O Rama, my dear son Rama." Although the sons of Jamagni, including Lord Parsaram, were a long distance from home, as soon as they heard Renuka loudly calling, "O Rama, my son," they hastily returned to the ashram where they saw their father already killed. Virtually bewildered by grief, anger, indignation, affliction, and lamentation, the son of Jamagni cried, "O Father, most religious, saintly persons, you have left us and gone to the heavenly planets." Thus lamenting, Lord Parsaram entrusted his father's dead body to his brothers and personally took up his axe, having decided to put an end to all the Kshatriyas on the surface of the earth. O King, Lord Parsaram then went to Mahismati, which was already doomed by the sinful killing of a Brahmana. In the midst of the city, he made a mounting of heads severed from the bodies of the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna. So this is our text, 18:19. Tadraktena nadim groram. Abrahmanya bhavaya bhayavayam. Hitam krita pritirvadam. Kastre mangala karinim. Tisapta kritva pritivim. Kritva nisatriyam prabhu. Samanta pankar. Pankare chakre, sunitodan hardan nava, tadraktena navim groram, abramya brayavanam. Tenum kritva pritivadam. Katre mangala karine. Tre sapta kritva pritivim. Kritva nisatriyam prabhu. Samanta pankach. Panchakre chakre sunidodan hardan nava tadraktena navim nadim groram abramya bayavaham Hitum kritva pite vadam. Chatre mangala karine. Tre sapta kritva patrivim. Pritivim. Kritva niskatriyam prabhu. Samanta panchake chakre sunito dan hardan nava Hitam kritva pritin vadam dritre mangala karine tri sapta kritva pritivin kritva nischatriya vibhu mantra vinchay satri une yunga jinam dada Thank you. Tatraktena. By the blood of the sons of Kartavirya Arjun. Nadim, a river. Ghoram, fierce. Abrahmya by avyam, causing fear to the kings who had no respect for Brahminical culture. Hitum, cause. Kritva, accepting. Pitri vadam, the killing of his father. Chatri, when the whole royal class. Amangala Karini was acting very impiously. Was acting very inauspiciously. Tritri Sapta Kritva, 21 times. Prithivim, the entire world. Kritva, making. Nischatriyam, without a Kshatriya dynasty. Prabhu, the Supreme Lord, Parsaram. Samanta Panchake, at the place known as Samanta Panchak. Chakre, he made. Sunita Udan, filled with blood instead of water. Ardan, lakes. Nava, 9. Translation provided by the Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. With the blood of the bodies of these sons, Lord Parsaram created a ghastly river which brought great fear to the kings who had no respect for Brahminical culture. Because the Kshatriya, the men of power in government, were performing sinful activities, Lord Parsaram, on the plea of retaliating for the murder of his father, rid all the Kshatriyas from the face of the earth 21 times. Indeed, in the place known as Samanta Panchak, he created 9 lakes filled with their blood. Purport. Parsaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his eternal mission is Paritnyaya Sadunam Vinasaya Cha Dukskritam. Bhagavad Gita 4:8. To protect the devotees and annihilate the miscreants, to kill all the sinful men, is one amongst the tasks of the incarnation of Godhead. Lord Parsaram killed all the Kshatriyas 21 times consecutively because they were disobedient to Brahminical culture. That the Kshatriya had killed his father was only a plea. The real fact is that because the Kshatriyas, the ruling class, had become polluted, their position was inauspicious. Brahminical culture is enjoined in the Shastra, especially in Bhagavad Gita. Chato vayam maya ashritam guna karma vibhagasa. Bhagavad Gita 4:13. According to the laws of nature, whether at the time of Parsaram or at the present, if the government becomes irresponsible and sinful, not caring for Brahminical culture, there will certainly be an incarnation of God, like Parsaram, to create a devastation by fire, famine, pestilence, or some other calamity. Whenever the government disrespects the supremacy of the Personality of Godhead and fail to protect the institution of Varnanashram, it will certainly have to face such catastrophe as formerly brought about by Lord Parsaram. Om Gyantam Nanusya Janandana Shalaka Chakshara Minitanina Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha Sri Guru Pamananda Premananda Vrajanam Padana Sri Mananya Chaya. So, here we're seeing the story of Lord Parsaram. Acting, the Supreme Lord acting as a Kshatriya, took birth in a Brahmana family, and he took up the post as a Kshatriya. And he was a wielder of an axe. That was his favorite weapon, to use an axe. So sometimes it'll be, we may wonder, in the presence of people shooting arrows, how was he able to defeat, actually stand alone in the battlefield? And so many people had all other kinds of weapon, arrows and bows. So how was it possible the Lord Parsaram was able to still defeat them? It says that when Lord Parsaram was in his, was fully active, he used to move at the speed of the mind. So we can understand what the speed of the mind is. You could be here and think you're in America, and the mind is there. So Lord Parsaram was like that. He was moving at the speed of the mind. And when he get tired, he'll move at the speed of the wind. So that means a whole army standing up in front of him, it wouldn't take him a long time to kill all of them, just wielding an axe. So he was, of course, Krishna, where there is, even among the demons, where there is, where you see certain splendor, unusually exceptional activities, these are all the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But these opulence are most glorious when these opulence is meant to display, to act, to reestablish religious principles. As Krishna explained also in Bhagavad Gita, that I am the ability in man. So whatever exceptional abilities we see in others, we should know that this is all Krishna's potency that is manifesting in these persons, even to the demonic people. Because unless Krishna invests his potency, then these people cannot act in a certain way. So, on the other hand, we hear from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that this material world is not a place for gentlemen. So, in other words, it's a place where just basically rogues live. Destination, a home for rogues, for rascals. So, it's a place where you can do all kind of roguish behavior, all kind of mischievous activities. So now the question is, then why the Lord come to kill these predominators of sinful activities? Generally, the Lord don't come and just kill the ordinary people. We don't see that. He don't generally kill ordinary people. Somebody just stealing something and like that. You know, this, that is responsibility. Take care of them in that way, in a personal way. But we find that in the case like Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, Kamsa, Sisupal, and like these very powerful asuras, and the Lord come and kill them. So sometimes in this one question being asked by Parikshit Maharaj in the seventh canto, chapter 1, text 1, Parikshit Maharaj asks Sukadeva Goswami, very nice question, and Prabhupada made some very nice points in the purport. Sri Raja Uvacha Samapriya Srihit Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam Indrasyarte Katam Daityan Avachit Visamo Yata. King Parikshit inquired, My dear Brahmana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, being everyone's well-wisher, is equal and extremely dear to everyone. How then did he become partial like a common man for the sake of Indra and thus kill Indra's enemy? How can a person equal to everyone be partial to some and inimical towards others? Srila Prabhupada purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9:29, the Lord says, Samoham sarvam bhutesu na me dvishyo ste na priya. I'm equal to everyone. No one is dear to me, nor is anyone my enemy. In the previous canto, however, it has been observed that the Lord sided with Indra by killing the demons on his account. Yata putra di sakra prasni grahina vishnuna. Therefore, the Lord was clearly partial to Indra, although he is the super soul in everyone's heart. The soul is extremely dear to everyone, and similarly, the super soul is also dear to everyone. Thus, there cannot be any faulty action on the part of the super soul. The Lord is always kind to all living entity, irrespective of form and situation. Yet he took the side of Indra, just like an ordinary friend. This was the subject of Parikshit Maharaj inquiry. As a devotee of Lord Krishna, he knew very well that Krishna cannot be partial to anyone. But when he saw that Krishna acted as an enemy of the demon, he was somewhat doubtful. Therefore, he posed this question to Sukadeva Goswami for a clear answer. A devotee cannot accept that Lord Vishnu has material qualification. Maharaj Parikshit knew perfectly well that Lord Vishnu, being transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. But to confirm his conviction, he wanted to hear from the authority, Sukadeva Goswami. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Samasya katam visama samyam. Since the Lord is equally disposed towards everyone, how can he be partial? Priyasya katam asuryesu priti abhava. The Lord, being the super soul, is extremely dear to everyone. Why then should the Lord display unsympathetic behavior towards the asura? How is this partial? Suhitdas cha katam tesu asur hardam. Since the Lord says that he is suhitdam sarvabhutanam, the well-wisher of all living entities, how could he act with partiality by killing demons? These questions arose in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, and therefore he inquired from Sukadev Goswami. So, we're seeing here that Lord Parshuram, on the plea of his of revenge or disciplining the Kshatriyas, especially in the son of Kartavirya Arjun, that he killed the Kshatriyas. Not only did he just kill the sons of this great king, but he also killed 21 generations of Kshatriyas. So, sometimes these activities, they can look as though the Lord is impartial, unsympathetic, inhumane, he have no mercy, that he just go about killing these people. For some people, they will consider them to be innocent. So how it is that the Lord act on this behalf? So the Lord is the supreme authority. He establishes the law. The law is meant to serve his purpose. And violators of the law is meant to be disciplined by the Lord. The living entity by nature is always seeking after happiness. But that happiness only comes about when he is subordinate to the Lord, when he acting subordination, when he seeks to make give pleasure to the Lord. But when he seeks to derive pleasure in a way that is averse to the Lord, then he becomes a lawbreaker in the eyes of God. In the eyes of demonic, atheistic persons, then he doesn't seem to be a lawbreaker. It's okay. When this the conditioned soul, overly entrapped and conditioned by bodily concept of life, he thinks that there is no God in control. Even though sometimes they possess vast intelligence, they somehow or the other can only understand that this creation takes place and manifests without a creator. It just happened to be an explosion for some reason or the other. This explosion takes place and this creation start becoming an active wheel, start moving. But in their own life, in their own home, in their own environments, they don't accept that there is no authority. They are forced to accept authority. If they are fathers, they are forced, and they force others to accept them as authority. And if they are leaders in institutions or whatever, they force others to accept them as authority. So we see this partiality in the living entity when there's a circumstance or anything that is meant for his own gratification, then it's right. And when it is not, for some reason, giving gratification to his senses, and then he becomes overwhelmed by envy, greed, lust. There's this burning fire within the heart. And so he wants to see himself alone as this enjoyer. But with good intelligence, we can see that how can I be this enjoyer. I came into this world and it was already existing. The sun was already shining, wind was already blowing, fire already existing. And when I came into this world, in my first entrance into this world, I know nothing. I did not even know what is fire, whether it is good or bad for me, unless I was told or unless I interact with it. Nevertheless, the living entity becomes so illusioned that he is striving day and night to attain this position as a controller or an enjoyer. So this is the influence of illusion. Although everything exists before you, now when you come, you think you have the rights over everything. And although everyone, friends, parents, loved ones, die in front of you, nevertheless, you still think, for some reason, under some cause, you will continue to exist, and for the period of time that you're existing, that you has the right over those things that is before you. So these are all the influence of illusion that one just cannot accept, that how it is if I am just this body, how it is when I'm in a awake state that I am aware of my surrounding. I'm aware of everything that is going on around me. I know this is my friend, my mother, my father. But when I'm in a sleep state, I'm still alive, but I don't know who is in front of me. Sometimes you see some people, when they're sleeping, their eyes are open. We sleep in groups, we know that. Some of us, we sleep with our eyes open. But although they're sleeping with their eyes open, they're not seeing anything. You move your hands in front of them, they're not seeing anything. So they're totally unconscious. So how it is the eyes, that when we're in an awake state, when the eyelids are open, we see. And when we're in a sleep state, the eyelids are open also, but you can't see. How is all these things happening? If a person is sleeping, and they're sometimes sleeping with their mouth open, and you put something sweet in the mouth, they'll chew that thing and digest it, and would not even wake up. And they're enjoying it, but they're unconscious. Sometimes people will call parents or friends' name or loved ones' name in the sleep, but totally unconscious. So if we were the body, how these activities can take place and you're not conscious of it? And then we see sometimes, like people can testify in a coma state or in a very deep unconscious state. Like people can testify being on an operation table and seeing doctors, hearing doctors performing activities. And doctors, they are fully aware that this person is in an unconscious state. Actually, we know when the heartbeat goes below 60, the person is likely to be in an unconscious state. So they know that the person is in an unconscious state. But nevertheless, the person can testify to certain activities. Or we see that a person coming out of a coma, he can testify that, I know I was in a dark condition. I don't know more. I can't say more. I know I was in this condition. So these are evidence that there's an existence that is beyond the body. that is actually sustaining the body. In reality, not actually sustaining the body, but is given some responsibility over the body. Because in actuality, the body is owned and controlled by the supersoul, not the living entity. The living entity is just a passenger passing through. Just like you have a car. Like sometimes you do, drivers, they do that. You're driving a long distance. Depends on the kind of vehicle you have. Drivers and passengers will switch seats. So the driver will tell the passenger, you hold the steering wheel. They put the car in a cruise control, so the car, you don't have to touch the accelerator. And so the person is holding. Sometimes you do that driving truck because there's enough space to pass. One person, the passenger is holding the wheels. The truck is continue driving. And the driver comes out of the seat and the passenger occupies the seat. So the living entity, in a similar way, although the Lord is fully the controller of the body, is given some responsibility to manipulate the body. He has desires. He's given some facility to fulfill his desires, to enjoy material circumstances, overwhelmed by these circumstances, especially when he have not come in contact with a pure devotee. He's so influenced by the circumstance of thinking that he's a material body. So in this way, he choose to make his choice of enjoying material circumstance becomes demonic activities that is averse towards the Lord. Actually, as long as the activities is not meant for the pleasure of the Lord, just like as devotees, we live within the temple. We sleep and we wake just like people living outside of the temple. And sometimes our day within the temple is so hectic that we hardly get much sleep. We're so busy, there's so much things to do. And for the ordinary people, they may also be outside with no application of service to the Lord. And they are very busy also. But in our activities, it is considered saintly activities. And in their activities, it is considered demonic activities. Because it is centered around the body. And our activities is centered for the service of the Lord. So the question, why is your activities, because it is so centered towards the Lord, then, and mine is not so centered to the Lord, why is mine considered demonic and yours considered saintly? Because Krishna is the proprietor. He's the lawmaker. He's making that law. He says, if you serve me, then your activities is saintly. Then your activities is righteous. Then it is rightly performed. If you, I award you this body, you don't know how you get this body. You didn't put this body together like some craftsman putting together some kind of a crafty activities, whether it's a pot or a chair or whatever. You didn't put it together. Even if we have to say, in terms of a craftsman putting together certain things, he's still not the actual owner. Because where did he get the wood? Where did he get the raw material? It's like sometimes we see in medical field, the ordinary medical man from the scientific point of view, they will criticize herbal medicine or Ayurvedic treatment, and they will consider that these are all, they're not so good. What we're doing, we're doing the right thing. We has this right proportion of making everything. But the question goes, then where did you get your raw material? Did you just simply make a magic and get some elements? No, it comes from the same circumstances. They had to get the same trees, the same elements, material elements, in order to make these medicine. So, but in the material world, the more we become, the more farther we are away from Krishna, the more we take the credit for everything. We think ourselves as the doer. under the illusion we think ourselves as doer. And the more we think ourselves as doer, the more we become implicated with material nature. As Prahlad Maharaj says, that in order to counteract the suffering of this material world, we engage in so many remedial measures. So these remedial measures, he says, they become worse than the suffering. Because it takes so much effort to perform all these remedies. And it causes so much pain and anxiety that it actually worse. Like sometimes we see a person very old and has a particular disease, and the doctor is telling him, then, you know, you need to undergo an operation. And so the operation, he's already, he may only have a few days more to live after undergoing such a horrible operation, and after undergoing so much intense pain, he still have to die in a few days. So this drive in conditioned life to maintain and protect the body is such an illusion that although so many persons is dying before us, nevertheless, this hope and this vow that we have to solve this problem, what this problem of birth, death, disease, and old age, we want to solve this problem. But the question, it is like saying that if you're doing the same thing again and again, but expect a different result, and then it's a recipe for madness. So this is the madness of conditioned life. So many people dying, so many people getting sick, so many persons, birth is a painful situation, so many persons dying, it's a painful situation. Nevertheless, we are thinking that we can solve this problem. So, in order to rectify this situation, so sometimes the Lord has to come and kill and destroy this overwhelming situation of the demonic force. When this demonic situation is always there in the material world. It's a natural flow for the material world to go in that way. Just like in the spiritual world, it's a natural flow for all activities. Everything is dedicated to the service of Krishna. So similarly, in the material world, it's a natural flow that all activities is actually going against Krishna. But when it becomes an overwhelming situation that there is a decrease of godliness, then the Lord has to enforce His authority to rectify this situation, to destroy these elements that is enhancing these demonic activities. So, is this partiality? No, it is not partiality, because the fact is that the Lord is the supreme authority. And since, just like we see in our home, we have our parents as the authority in the home. They may be saying or doing things that is wrong, but as long as we are under their jurisdiction, whatever they say is right. We have to accept it. And if you don't accept it, then you've been disciplined. If you're within that position to be disciplined, or you've been forced to leave the home. You've been neglected, rejected. So, similarly, because of the fact that the living entity becomes disobedient, as disobedient is that he is no longer inclined to render loving service to the Lord. This inclination is no longer there. Why is this inclination no longer there? Because of bad association, friends, family, whatever. Because of this association, he has developed this aversion. More and more he has developed this aversion. And the more he becomes captivated by the material allurement, the more he begins to think that he's this material body, the more he thinks that he's this material body, the more he thinks that to gratify the senses of this body is the prime necessity of life, and then therefore he'll do whatever it takes, thief, beg, or borrow, just to protect, maintain this body, which existence is unpredictable, because at any moment, anyone can die. So we see here how the Lord, he act with such force that in the case of Lord Parsaram, he, in the killing, he will cause lakes of blood. Just like in the Mahabharata, there was also like lakes of blood. Now you go, it is water. But before, it was filled with blood. It is such a scene that for some of us, for some persons, if they see their own blood, they faint. Or if they see the blood of others, they faint. So we can imagine what it is like unto, and the smell of millions and millions of human beings being killed. So the Lord, he, ordinary human beings can hardly perform such activity. They cannot perform such activities. It is not possible. Of course, we had history of such great personalities from a demonic point of view of Hitler wanting to kill so many people, especially those that he considered to be Jews. But nevertheless, these activities are actually meant to be performed by the Lord. And what is it meant for? It is meant to reestablish Dharma, religious principles. So if the same activities, if it is not performed, just like in the case of Hitler, it is not performed for, to establish religious principles, then it becomes a sinful activities. So, like in his case, he's certainly in hell right now. In his life will be certainly lifetime after lifetime. Krishna says, when the living entity become extremely demonic, then lifetime after lifetime, I cast him down into lower and lower species of life. So sometimes we understand that there is a principle by which the living entity goes upward. He takes a gradual elevation to go up to in order to come up to meet human form of life. But nevertheless, there is also another situation by which the extremely demonic living entity gradually goes down and stay for long periods of time in demonic species of life. So this is all the will of the Lord. So we, as living as devotees, we have to see that as we come to Krishna consciousness, that somehow or the other, we are not again influenced by this path that is averse to the loving service of the Lord. And somehow or the other, we try our best by following the rules and regulation to nurture this affection for the Lord, this loving feelings for the Lord. It may not be fully manifest due to our past sinful life, but nevertheless, to whatever degree it is, and because of the association of the devotees, because of the fact that we have the opportunity to hear and chant, it can be revived in the association of devotees. So we have to act in such a way so that we don't lose this opportunity. We lose this opportunity because of bad association. So we have to protect ourselves. And that's a responsibility that we have because we have choices. If the living entity was not given the opportunity to make choices, then where will be the question of loving service? He'll be forced to serve the Lord. Rather, he's been given choices. This is his limited independence, where he accept or reject the Lord. He act in a way that is constitutionally beneficial for his constitutional nature, or he act in a way that is against his constitutional nature. So we have this responsibility, and we have to somehow or the other try our best. It's a gradual process, but keep trying so that we can become purified and become Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comments? No questions? So we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.